When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores desperate to get food.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Cross Politic Network, where the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's right. The mercy of the wicked is like abortion. That's about as loud as I want to say it, because I don't want Facebook to pick up what I'm talking about today. So we're going to call it the A word. And I know I didn't have an analogy for abortion like I normally do, like a quick funny analogy, but I don't, because it's exactly that. But anyway, for the rest of the show, I'll try to use the term the A word so Facebook's algorithm doesn't pick this up and suppress this show to non-existence. But you can fight that. You can fight Facebook's algorithm just by hitting the share button. As soon as you see a show, you don't even need to know what the show's about. You don't even need to watch the show to see if you like it. Just hit share as soon as it comes in your feed. Just smash that share button, because that is a way Facebook goes against its algorithm. It says, hey, I know this is against everything I stand for, but other people are seeming to share it. So that's what I'll let people see it. And so that's one way. It's the only way. It's why memes work. I assume. So if you see the show, just share it today. Today we're going to be talking about the A word. And before we do, I want to go into some local politics. Now, I know that on radio shows that are streamed on the internet and people are watching in Australia and America and wherever, local politics seems crazy. We could stick to congressional politics. We could stick to Trump or the Supreme Court that have national importance and will probably get me a bigger audience. But the most important politics are the ones that are happening right under your nose. And although we're not going to be very local, because it's a Senate race, a national Senate race, but we're going to stick to what's happening in Arizona. And so for those of you guys that don't know, there is a very heated and contested Senate race happening between Martha McSally and Kristen Sinema. And yes, the Democrat's name, I just have to say this, her name is Sinema, spelled S-I-N. And that is perfect, because we are a state that nominated the flake, Jeff Flake. So I imagine that if Sinema wins, it's God even furthering his judgment upon us by us literally getting what we vote for. And yes, both senators are women. I think that's a problem in and of itself. I think the Bible is pretty clear that women shouldn't be leaders. The Bible says in Exodus 18:21, it says, moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties and tens. I think God's principle is pretty clear about that. But there's also here, we need people who are trustworthy, who hate a bribe, and fear God. And Donald Trump doesn't meet any of those qualifications other than being a man. And I think we could question whether he meets the we know it. We don't even have to question it. It's absolutely true. He doesn't meet the biblical qualifications of a man. I mean, in terms of how he speaks, yes. In terms of how he treats women, no. So anyways, Kristen Sinema and Martha McSally, they're running for office. And I'm going to tell you, I just want to warn you that this episode I'm not really interested in Sinema. We know that she is a Democrat, but before I do anything, I can't not play this ad.
Everyone remembers where they were on 9/11. I was deployed to the Middle East, led airstrikes against the Taliban, and was the first woman to fly a fighter jet in combat. I know the price of freedom. While we were in harm's way in uniform, Kyrsten Sinema was protesting us in a pink tutu and denigrating our service. The world is a dangerous place. We need strong leaders who understand the threat and respect our troops. Kyrsten Sinema fails the test. I'm Martha McSally, and I approve this message.
Wow. That is phenomenal. I mean, that is... While I'm one of the first female fighter pilots, she was wearing a tutu acting like a feminist. Let me tell you something right now. That's a good ad. Whatever you think, that is a great ad. But anyway, today's show is not going to be about... it's not going to be about cinema, because we know she's a Democrat. Her name has sin all over it. And so I want to talk about McSally, because I watched the senator debate between McSally and Sinema, and I was incredibly frustrated. Now, before we get into this clip, I just want to read one Bible verse that I think is very important for this conversation. And it goes, "Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." And Jesus said that. And so when we look at this debate, I want you to ask yourself, is McSally's yeses, do her yeses mean yes, and do her no's mean no? And I'm just going to tell you right now. Well, you know what? Just watch this.
How much should government be involved in healthcare, especially when it concerns folks that find it difficult to get health care, specifically those with pre-existing conditions? What is the government's role?
Let me just stop. The government's role is zilch. It's zilch. The government should not be involved in health care. Not at all. Not at all. The church, however, should be. Anyways, let's continue.
Well, thanks, Ted, for the opportunity again to debunk another attack from my opponent. I voted to protect people with pre-existing conditions to make sure insurance companies were forced to give them health care.
Okay. So, this is going to be the theme of tonight. So she just said, hey, I voted to force insurance companies to give people health care. Oh, wait. I thought you were on the Republican ticket. I don't understand. Why would you apologize if your attack is she voted against giving people with pre-existing health conditions health care? You should be like, heck yes, I did. I sure did. That's exactly what I did, because insurance companies should be completely private and not have any influence from the government. Just like every single business, that is the correct answer. What she said actually frightens me. She said, "No, I forced her to." And here we go. We see the charge against McSally. The charge against her is always, "Hey, you voted for this conservative platform," and her response is, "Uh-uh, I'm a liberal just like you guys."
So the reality is that Arizonans are worried about losing access to this critical coverage, and Martha voted to take that protection away.
That is just a flat-out lie.
Okay. Arizona is worried, which, by the way, I know a lot of people in Arizona, and they're not really worried about the government, about healthcare companies taking away their ability to be insured. Because a lot of people in Arizona are not for government health care at all. That is wrong, Sinema. But her response is, again, that is a flat-out lie. I am a liberal just like you. So here's the thing. you see someone, her yeses are not yes and her noes are not noes. And she's playing to the left. And it's infuriating because I can't vote for somebody like this. I can't vote for someone who is accused of being a conservative and then apologizes for it. We're not even talking about libertarian politics here. We're talking about just basic stuff. Anyways, okay, so the question is asked about Social Security.
But just last year, Martha voted to cut $500 billion from Medicare. My own grandma depends on Medicare and Social Security every day. And the constituents that I represent and that I can will hope to represent the United States Senate will depend on these benefits that they've earned. It's our duty to protect them for future generations.
No, it is the church's job to take care of the poor and the widows and the elderly. If, this is very, very, very clear here in Scripture, if the family cannot do it themselves. So primarily, it is a family's job to take care of the elderly. And secondarily, the church can come in and give assistance. Timothy's very clear when he lists out the ordinance, the instructions for giving taking care of the widows. As an example, there are very clear instructions that family first, they have to be true widows. And then if those cannot be met, then the church can step in if they're a true widow. So the Bible's very clear on who is to take care of the helpless in our society, and it is family, then church. So when you see a senator saying it is our responsibility, or collectively and saying we as a nation must all donate money that by the threat of a gun to take care of the poor and the elderly, that is absolutely not true. And honestly, if the government wasn't taking so much money away from me right now, I'd have a lot more money to help the poor as I want to. But I can't. And so whenever I see a homeless person, or whenever I see somebody ask me for money, or my response is always the same. My church has a homeless ministry, and if you need help, they will gladly help you. And all the money I give to my church, that includes money I give to the poor. And so you can go to church, and you know what? They usually don't go to church. And so it is, I don't have any shame whatsoever about a homeless person who rejects the blessings of the covenant. I just don't. And we shouldn't have any shame. You shouldn't have any shame either.
You cannot make this up. I mean, these are just more lies. Our seniors have been working their whole lives, and they have been saving for retirement, and they've been paying into Medicare and Social Security, and they deserve to have the benefits that they had paid into. We must protect Medicare and Social Security.
No, we don't. See, here's the problem with this Ponzi scheme. The problem with the Ponzi scheme is that there are people that have paid in to this Ponzi scheme. And now we can't be like, I know you paid into it all your life, but we're just not going to give you any. And so we're going bankrupt. I mean, I was just listening to the radio on the way home, and I think they said 70% of all the income in our national budget goes to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all these things. 70%. That's insane. That's an insane amount of money. We just can't afford it. We just can't afford it anymore. And so at some point, we're going to have to pull the plug. We're going to have to pull the plug. Now, I would say anybody who's under 18 right now should never have to pay into Social Security again. And then anybody who's older than that, just give them back what they've paid. Just give them back what they paid right now. Just give it back to them. And then we'll go on from there. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, and the problem is with McSally. McSally saying that we have to give these people this money. We cannot be against Medicare. We cannot be against Medicaid. We cannot be against these things. Yes, we can. And we have to. Our nation is going to collapse under this Ponzi scheme. It's going to collapse. We're going to fall apart. And so again, here we see it again, that McSally is apologizing for being accused of being a conservative. And now we get to abortion. And we know what cinema's going to say. Cinema's going to say, I support abortion. I support the right between a woman and her doctor. Blah, blah, blah. She's liberal. She wears the pink tutu. We get it. We get it. We've seen you in the pink tutu. We've seen it. We know you are a raging feminist who is going to support abortion. The problem I have here is that McSally's answers are not yes and yes and no and no. They're not. Not at all. Not in the least. And so what we have is a problem with giving weak answers for very important questions. And this bothers me. I know a liberal is going to be a liberal, but nothing bothers me more than when someone who is running as a Republican gives this answer for abortion.
And where do you stand on that?
I am pro-life, and I have a very strong pro-life record.
So you would support overturning Roe v. Wade?
I'm focused when it comes to judges on how they interpret the Constitution and how they interpret the laws that we make. It's not a particular litmus test, but I have a very strong pro-life record.
So you would support the overturning of Roe v. Wade?
I would support appointing justices. I mean, this has nothing to do with what Congress is working on or the Senate. I would support appointing justices that are looking independently at the Constitution and at the laws that we make, and that they will have a good decision-making process based on that.
What Center for Arizona Policy did you get that answer from? Like, that is... the worst kind of answer. And so what I want to do right now, and we'll get into why it was bad, but this would be my answer. My answer would be, I don't just support the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I support an amendment to make sure nothing like that garbage ever happens again. And also, I support Arizona statute that says that abortion is illegal and it's still on the books. And if I had anything in my power, any possibility as a United States Senator, I would make sure that the National Guard is sent to every one of those abortion clinics and shut them down, whether or not Roe v. Wade does anything or not. That is what my answer would be. But no, you have her. She's asked, would you overturn Roe v. Wade? This is a very simple question. It doesn't matter if it's in your job description or not to overturn Roe v. Wade. You're asked, would you support the overturning of Roe v. Wade? And your answer for that should absolutely 100% all the time be yes. Yes, 100%. Not only do I support the overturning of Roe v. Wade, I will make popcorn and I will celebrate and I will have a party when it's overturned. That should be the answer. But again, it's not. It's it's not the job. It's not, I mean, the Senate, the Congress. I mean, what do we do? No, what is wrong, people? What is wrong? This is, you know what? I think this is what it is. I honestly believe this. I believe that Donald Trump has ruined me. He's ruined me. He's ruined me because when I look at a politician post-Trump, I look at a politician acting like McSally, I want my head to explode. Here's the thing. I don't even care if Donald Trump is right or wrong. I just like the fact that he acts like he's right all the time and he has the courage of his convictions. I don't want any more politicians post-Trump from this point on, from November 6th of this year, forward, forever. I don't want any more politicians that don't have the guts to let their yeses be yes and their no be no, especially on the issue of abortion, especially on that issue. We can't do this anymore. We can't do this anymore. Please, this is 40, 50, maybe upwards to 60 million children have been murdered, tortured. They've been had their body parts ripped apart and placed onto a metal pan and assembled, and this is what we can't say with assertiveness that it should be overturned and we should have never let this happen ever again. And I know a lot of you are going to say, I know a lot of you guys are going to say, well, she was talking about in the terms of like as a Supreme Court justice, does she support a Supreme Court justice? But go back and listen to that clip when this is over. She was asked very clearly from the moderator, she was asked, what about you? And she would not answer the question. She said, well, I have a consistent pro-life voting record. Let's talk about the consistent pro-life voting records for a minute. Because let me tell you something. These consistent pro-life voting records are a sham. They're a sham. They're laws that are created that do nothing to stop abortion. But they make you look pro-life. That's all they do. And then they also help the pro-choice people because they do nothing to continue abortion, but they make the pro-choice people vote pro-choice. And a lot of these laws are coming from Arizona lobbyist groups like the Center for Arizona Policy and Queen Herod. And they're awful laws. They're terrible laws. And they need to be rejected. And we, the people of Arizona, I know it's nationally broadcast on Facebook and there's some dude in Australia, I think, that listens. But to the people at my church, we have got to get people angry at these fake pro-life policies that are being established. And we have to do something. We have to end this. And that is why I am so thankful for my pastors who today went before the council and they dressed in black robes, even though, bless their hearts, they're not Presbyterians. It made my little Presbyterian heart very, very happy to see my pastors in black robes. They stood before the city council and they told the city council to end abortion now. And that is the boldness and assertiveness I want in my pastors. And it's also the boldness and assertiveness I want in people that I elect for senator. And if you cannot say that Roe v. Wade deserves to be overturned and I will pay for the party, not with tax dollars, but I will pay for the party when it happens, then you don't deserve to be elected. You don't even deserve to be elected to the role of a dog catcher. So anyways. That's it for today's show. That's it for today's Law and Prophets. Let me just, before we close the show, I have to ask that you join Cross Politics Club. I have to ask that you become a part of the Cross Politic Network. And I want to encourage you to do it now and watch us grow. Watch the network grow. Watch it build. And be a part of something from the ground up. I'm telling you, when you join the Cross Politic Club, yes, you get free books. Yes, you get the Shotgun Worldview series. Yes, you get a bunch of other things that's going to go out on the platform. But most importantly, you're helping to build a counter to the conservative media. And I didn't say liberal media. I said the conservative media. Because the one thing the Cross Politic Network is doing that nobody else is doing is we're saying, this is what the Word of God says. This is what our politicians should do. And that is it. And we need that. We need more of that. So let me encourage you, please sign up for the Cross Politic Network and build something great. Build something amazing. Be a part of that. And again, thanks again for watching, everybody. Please share this episode, like and comment on Facebook. Do all the things that Facebook asks of you. And I ask of you as your humble host of Law and Prophets. See you next week.